passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We are back. What an afternoon this has been. Really enjoyed the conversation with Kevin Steele. What insight to somebody who has a 40-plus year college football career. We also had a conversation with Gene Sullivan in the 5 o'clock hour, the widow of the legendary Heisman Trophy winner, Pat Sullivan, about the tragedy and the announcement of the death of Terry Beasley late last night, the All-American Hall of Fame wide receiver of the Sullivan era from Auburn. Let's get back to the phone calls. Wilbur Hackett will join us at the bottom of this hour, another Hall of Famer. Let's check in with Wyatt in Knoxville. Hello, Wyatt.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum, how are you doing?
We're doing well, thank you.
Good. I just wanted to hear if you had any insight or an opinion on the current NCAA investigation at the University of Tennessee. I'm a student here, so I just wanted to know more.
Well, I know. I've heard from some friends of mine over there, and even I heard from the sports editor of the school newspaper about how galvanized everyone is in relation to what Chancellor Plowman said. I'm more curious, before I even try to answer, how the students feel. What are you hearing from your friends?
You know, I'm with a couple of my buddies right now, actually, and, you know, I think everybody's pretty upset about what's going on. It kind of seems like a witch hunt, you know. Everybody's out to get us, I feel like.
Well, I think that's an accurate description. I think that's one reason why you've heard such loud voices from Tennessee administrators. And this isn't just because people hate the NCAA, which they do, and they're justified in that feeling. But it's just with everybody doing the same thing, I don't understand what prompted this. And why Tennessee's case is different, and you've heard this because you live there, but Tennessee's in a very narrow window with the NCAA, so if they actually could make these charges stick, which I don't think they can, Tennessee would pay a terrible price where anybody else would get off with a traffic ticket.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
It seems like it's a selective prosecution. I think that would be the most adult way of saying it. If I was sitting around with you guys having a beer, I'd be a lot stronger.
Yeah, absolutely. I just feel like, you know, since we've kind of been on the come up, I've been a Vol fan my whole life. I've sat in nailing with my grandparents, you know, watching us get our butt beat in by, you know, Alabama, Georgia, all those years. And it finally feels like we're on the come up here, you know, with Nico and everything. So it really does feel very subjective with what they're doing.
Well, I'll just give you an opinion, however educated it is or isn't. But I don't think the NCAA will ever lay a glove on Tennessee in this particular case.
Thank God.
So you rest easy, because if they do, they will potentially be brought to their knees in court. And I don't think it is worth it to make a stand on a case that they are ultimately going to lose. I mean, why do you fight about whether somebody has inadvertently or purposely parked their car in front of your house when if you end up telling them to move, the whole thing may go, your whole house may go down in flames. It's not worth it. Thank you very much for the call. Really great to hear from students. Love to hear from more students at Tennessee and other places about how they feel, because I think that is a pretty accurate description. Speaking of that, I-Man is up next.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul.
Hey there.
You know, this Tennessee thing, do you think this has the potential to be the first shot across the bow where the SEC and the Big Ten make a decision for themselves versus the NCAA?
Yeah, I agree. I'm really interested and curious about where the conferences are going to stand, because they're in a prickly position, I-Man, because they sit at the table with these muckety-mucks, and they act like they all get along, even though they're probably laughing at the NCAA behind their back.
And would you think that if the Big Ten and the SEC left the NCAA, that'd be devastating to the cash flow of the NCAA Cal?
Yeah, they'd be out of business because, and frankly, I think ultimately we're going to get there and maybe include a few more along the way. But
right,
the thing that pains me is that it's things move at such a glacier pace that even if you wanted to do that, it would be hard to do. We've seen football change. We just got through watching how long it took for Oklahoma and Texas, and that was all because of contracts and litigation. Now, to the Big Ten's credit, they moved this thing pretty quickly. I think it could be done a lot. Which you have to have, and you have to be careful about collusion. Right now the NCAA has multiple contracts with guess who? ESPN for women's basketball, baseball, softball, gymnastics. They have a contract with CBS and Turner for the men's basketball tournament, which is a $1 billion operation. So could that be made up? Yeah, but you have to. Those are important factors that a lot of people are not considering right now.
And I agree. There's a lot of stuff hidden that hasn't even began to surface. And let me ask you another question. I find you to be an unbiased fella.
Okay.
Chuckle, chuckle, laugh, laugh, poke, poke.
Right.
What is it with the Bama fans when, all right, let's just take me, for instance. When I call him, he's just a Bama hater. He don't talk about anything, but he never talks about his school. But I do stay on topic, and I think that's very important. We tend to have topics, not always. It's a caller-driven show. But the topics are, I'm usually following the topics. Do I have fun with them? Absolutely. I think that's what maybe drives the Bammers over the edge. And I know that I'm good at it. That's got to really suck, knowing that I know that I can push them around, rough up the hair and just keep walking. And but what is the difference when you've got a school that's singing, we just beat the hell out of you? They dislike every other program in the country, but then they're solely focused on Auburn. But then they say Auburn is solely focused on Alabama. And I think Auburn and Alabama are focused on each other because they're in the state. They are competitive with one another, and that's just the way it is. And we don't have professional sports. We've got that. And but what is the difference in them hating? All right, let's see. All right, what you go in a room with 100 people, 80 of them are Bama fans, 10 of them Auburn fans, and the other 10 are various fans. So we know the Bammers outnumber us because they're just everywhere. So who's doing the most hating, and is it equal? And is it fair for the Bammers to always kind of crawl under a blanket and hide behind the term Bama hater?
Well, you've asked me. I feel like I need to maybe do a dissertation or maybe get a doctorate in this question that you've asked me. Can you give me a couple of years so I can research it?
No, you ain't got a couple of years. You just got less than 45 minutes.
You're right about that.
But I am correct. And I know that I'm real good at pushing the Bammers around.
You are.
I know that I'm.
You're the
I'm
number really one Auburn Bama pusher. Button pusher,
rounder, Bama pusher, rounder. Yeah.
I mean, you got a guy that you got a guy down the street from you in Pell City that's trying to be, but he hasn't gone to the I-Man school of button pushing yet.
Well, he just hadn't had 20 years experience.
Yeah, you're a veteran. I mean, you were there day one.
And they've been listening to day one, and I've been following topic, and I've been I take it to the cutting edge of pushing them off the cliff. But I always reach over and grab them by the overall strap if I can, and try to pull them back.
Yeah,
up.
No, you don't let them drown. I mean, you let them choke a little bit, cough up water.
Yeah. And when they pull them up on the curb, they get scratched up and skin up, and they might have to go see their mama and get some antibiotics or something.
Yeah.
But I don't leave them out there for dead. Maybe black and bruised, but that's just the way it is. And I think that that's the number one thing. They just can't take the calmness of my tone and the levity that I bring to the table and the honesty.
You're the guy that does it to them every time, right, Randy?
And I'm good at it. That's
what. Oh, you're so good at it. You're so good at it, I man.
I mean, I'm so good I ought to get a Zippo letter out of that. You think?
Yeah, we'll get you one on, man.
Got real quiet. It got real quiet.
I'm checking Amazon right now. I got one. Got one for $3.99. It's coming to you. Coming to you immediately.
Well, that'd be fine. And I'd like to give my condolences to the Beasley family. I met Terry a couple times. A real good friend of mine's good friends of his. Met Terry several times. Autographed the book for me. We sat and talked for several hours. And I tell you what, Pat Sullivan does not have a Heisman Trophy for all the good qualities that Pat Sullivan brought to the table. But when you look at college football, I don't think anybody laid it on the line any more than Terry Beasley did.
No, and he would do it again. And the tragedy is all those hits he took and Pat took sadly and tragically affected their quality of life.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. War Damn Eagle, have a good afternoon, Paul.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we spent a lot of time on Terry Beasley's passing. And, I remember when Pat passed away, it was equally tragic. But there's just something about this that is just tugging at everybody today that knew Terry and loved him and revered him. Thank you so much for the call. Knox is up next in Tennessee. Knox, you are on the air. Hello.
Hey, Paul. I just wanted to say that I want to talk about how Jer Moorhead, the University of Georgia's president, is clearly behind all these NCAA allegations against Tennessee.
Well, before you even make another statement, I would like to clarify something. Jerry Moorhead is the president of the University of Georgia. He has been president of the NCAA. He's also been president, he's currently the president, I think, of the NCAA Council, which is the over, I may have that described incorrectly, but I've talked to President Moorhead many times, and he heads the overriding governing body of the NCAA. It's very influential. I will also add to you, without knowing what you're going to say next, that Jerry Moorhead would not have one thing to do with an enforcement investigation, and the Jerry Moorhead I know, and I feel like I know him, would stand on the side of Tennessee every day.
See, I think you'd think that, but then when you really look at it, Tennessee's narrowing that gap on Georgia. Our recruiting's getting better. We got a star quarterback. The only people that they're really going after right now are Florida and Tennessee, two of their biggest rivals. Yeah. I mean, it's
well,
like we've
well,
got
well,
the
Knox,
guy
listen,
right there.
I applaud you for sounding like a fan, which is what you expect on a program like this. But I feel very comfortable in my knowledge of Jerry, who's a respected, revered administrator and leader in college athletics, and he is not taking he is not involved in the prosecution of Tennessee. Mark my word. Take that one to your favorite bank. We will be back. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul.
Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We've had so much going on tonight, we really haven't had a chance to. We talked about it in the first hour, but what an incredible upset and great win for Coach Golden at Florida. Winning last night at Rupp Arena. Surprised we haven't had more comment on that today, but things have been pretty active. Let's get to the calls, and Frank is up next. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
We are doing great.
Paul, me and my little niece, we sat around one drink coffee at RK West, Toby. She's heard me call you about Coach DeBose.
Yeah.
She said, what about his assistant coaches? What do you know about them? I know he's brought a lot with him.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because we talked about this briefly earlier today, but Ryan Grubbs, who is his number one coach, remember Nick Saban tried to hire him a year ago. He's the offensive coordinator. It has not been officially announced, but it's been presumed that he would be the OC. There was a report out today that he is being looked at by the Seattle Seahawks. So that's a really big deal, and I don't know which way it's going to go. But if they end up losing him, that is a significant change. And we'll just have to see what the next day or two brings. Thank you very much for the call. Cooper is in Tennessee. Hello, Cooper. Hey, Cooper.
Hey, Paul. What's
hey,
up?
Good afternoon.
Hey. So, obviously, Tennessee has been being, in my opinion, wrongfully investigated by the NCAA. And I was just wanting to know if you think that they might start cracking down on any other schools soon.
Well, it depends on whether they have a couple of thousand investigators, because I can recommend about 25 or 30 places they can find the same issues that Tennessee allegedly has. I mean, everyone is doing the same thing. It's just a matter of degrees. And I say this a lot, but I'm going to say it again. If you don't cooperate with the NCAA, meaning like Tennessee did 3 years ago, and essentially roll over, they have no chance. I mean, they are incompetent. I'm trying to think of a way to describe their investigators. I don't want to be. Yeah, I was about to say that, but when you insult Barney Fife, I mean, a lot of people really like Barney. But they're not good guys. I mean, they're the Keystone Cops. I mean, you could get their 10 best investigators and give them a GPS, and they still couldn't find Knoxville, Tennessee. I mean, they are total clowns. They used to have attorneys. A friend of mine used to be an NCAA investigator. He was an attorney first in his class. They used to have high quality people. Now nobody, they literally get guys, I mean, they're temporaries. Like, I'll do this because they don't do anything. I used to be an investigative reporter, and the NCAA would always, they'd call you like as soon as you wrote a story, and they go, hey, what do you know? I'm like going, what do I know? I just wrote the story, man. Like, I mean, all they were trying to do was get information. Because they have never independently broken a story in modern time, and they're not going to be able to break this one. Thanks for the call. Just do not cooperate with the NCAA. Do not answer their calls. The only thing they can do is hit you with lack of institutional control, but they're not going to get that done either. Johnny B. is up next.
Hey, Paul. I appreciate you taking my call. I know sure. I cut up a lot and everything, but I've walked back and forth probably a mile on the back porch thinking about whether I wanted to, you know, make this call. But, hearing about Terry Beasley and, the possible suicide and CTE and the spinal cord injuries. And, I played, and I don't think it matters what level you are, but I busted two helmets and I caved in a face mask. And I had a lot of damage in my neck and spine. And, when you're in constant pain, and you're, you know, you're a macho man. You've played. You want to hear that crowd roar when you hit them, and you know what they call targeting is exactly how I hear it. If you think
yeah,
about
no, I think you're right. Williams, somebody told me today that targeting in the 70s, what was a tackle in the 70s is targeting today.
Yeah, if you think back, Chucky Mullins went to Russell just a few right. years after me, and he was paralyzed and died from his injuries from that thing. But, you know, what you don't realize is when you're in that much pain and you drink, you take pills, you do whatever you think. And, you know, I ran into my doctor yesterday getting a biscuit, and he was behind me in the body, and he called to check up on me, and I was like, you know, it's a miracle. I was honestly listening to your show on the headphones, and this new doctor came to the shows with these injections that they do in your spine and neck.
Mm-hmm.
And I went from just living in pure hell to actually having some quality of life now. But he asked me, you know, and we talked about it, and I said, yeah, suicide crossed my mind. It really did, because when you're in that much pain, you just don't have any other option. And I guess just praying and actually the timing of that guy coming here has saved my life. But, you know, when you're in that situation, all I can say is reach out to somebody, never give up, and just keep praying, because you don't ever know what another person is feeling. There's no way they measure pain. They just have to take your word for it. But when you see somebody take their life, I felt like it was important for me to share. I've been close. I didn't. I'm glad. And I got better. And I just wanted everybody to know that, you know, you can be a big old man, you want to hear the crowd go crazy, and then you're sent home, you know, regardless of if you made pro or whatever, you committed to that, and then you fed off that, and then
you know, Johnny, I think we've all been there. The things we've done in our lives, especially when we were younger, that made no sense whatsoever, but we did them, and most of us would do them again.
I heard you say it a while ago.
Yeah.
I'd do it again
sure.
100 times over, but I guarantee you I'd listen to my coaches now, and right. I'd use that shoulder, and I'd use a better technique.
Yeah.
And so if you're out there playing, guys, listen to me, man. I'm 60, and this is hell. There's a lot of other people I'm sure hurting. So
No, I'm glad you said that, because we tend to look at people who, and we've all been there, directly or through friends, family. And Johnny, thank you for sharing that. And it's easy to judge and say, well, how could somebody get hooked on something? But you talk to professionals on both sides, and they can explain it. And I had something wrong with me a couple weeks ago, and I asked my wife, and she said, well, why don't you take some Advil? I go, I don't know if I really, she likes, are you out of your mind? I said, well, that's another conversation. But I think we all are, especially when we've seen it firsthand, and I have, and from people who have been addicted, and it's incredibly eye-opening. We'll take a break. We talked to somebody who played the game at the highest level and is considered an absolute legend in the state of Kentucky. Wilbur Hackett.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
A couple of months ago on a beautiful Friday afternoon in Lexington, we had a chance to talk to Wilbur Hackett Jr., just a couple of yards away from a statue that where he and three of his teammates are honored and remembered, who broke the color barrier at the University of Kentucky as we began Black History Month. Wilbur, it is so great to reconnect with you, and thank you for the time. Thoroughly enjoyed our visit in Lexington, and I hope all is well with you. Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon, Paul, and thank you again for having me. I certainly enjoyed spending my time with you and while you were in Lexington.
I peppered you on your career and especially your officiating, but I'm going to save the officiating for the next time I see you because there are too many people that have complaints. I'm kidding, of course, Wilbur, but you were a longtime SEC official. But let me talk about this moment in time. We had Dr. King's birthday a couple weeks ago, and now we're spending so much time just remembering the giants who came before you and after you. And as you reflect back, it's been a few years, obviously, but the courage that your colleagues that we've talked about in the past and continue to honor, go back in that for that moment in time, because it was different for everyone. But you told me about how your family, you had quite a few conversations about your decision to go to the University of Kentucky.
Well, yes, no doubt. Fortunately, had an opportunity to go to a pretty good football player, and had an opportunity to go to several different offers, and one of those offers was from, of course, Kentucky, and at the time I didn't realize how strongly associated my family was. My parents were associated with the University of Kentucky. They had been fans back in the 40s and the 50s when it wasn't popular for African Americans to be UK supporters or fans. So it was when I was recruited and the time came to make a decision, I had decided on Michigan State, but my parents interjected that they felt like Kentucky was a place for me to go. Was a place for me to sign. So that's what I ended up doing. And it was like one of my church members told me that I asked him one time how long he'd been a member of the church, and he said 81 years, and he was 81 years old. So his answer was, I've been a church member since I was in the womb, and that's kind of how I felt about going to Kentucky. I didn't realize that my parents were such big fans, and so I've been didn't know it, but a big Kentucky.
You know, Wilbur, what you said is so interesting because I run into so many people who stay in state, and a lot of today it's different. You know that, but mm-hmm. if you gotten to Michigan State and had a big career, I'm sure you would have been content. But it's your life is probably different where you live now in the state of Kentucky than it would have been had you gone up there.
Oh, without question. Well, first of all, Michigan State, again, it was my first choice. But by staying at home, it gave my parents an opportunity to watch me play. And I'm from a small town 12 miles east of Lexington, Winchester, Kentucky. So my family and friends there got an opportunity to see me play. And quite frankly, it was time for because Nate and Greg were there, and they needed the thing. Greg said to me was, "We need more African Americans. We need more black players to come here and support us, so we can change things here." So, and my parents, UK was just it was the right fit, and if I had to do it all over again, no doubt I would do the same thing.
And I know a lot of things happened after that because I've spent a lot of time around young men, not young men anymore, but players who were young men during your era who broke that barrier and the difficulty of it. In fact, a couple weeks ago, I was with a room full of them in Alabama who had done something similar. But Kentucky was really a little bit ahead of everyone else, or most everyone else, weren't they?
Well, no question. And the fact that we were the northernmost state in the SEC, I think, had a lot to do with it. But also because of the administration, the president at the university and the athletic department had made a commitment to change things. And no doubt, being a product and a child of the 60s and me witnessing Jim Crow and segregation and busing and black people still being hung, it was time for a change. And I was just and to support Nate and Greg, and because my parents were content on seeing me play and my family and friends, it was just the right thing to do at the right time.
I know this sounds silly, Wilbur, but you know, here you are in the late mid to late 60s doing something. There's no way a young man could have probably thought ahead, but could you have ever believed when you signed with the UK and joined your friends, who would later become your friends for life, that we would be talking about this 50, 60, almost 60 years later?
You know, absolutely not, Paul. The only thing that I thought about was going to college. And quite frankly, I knew I was a pretty good football player, but really never thought about college until my junior year when I started getting letters. But it was I just never thought much about it. And but as the time got near, and people started saying, "Well, why would you go up there, or why would you go to a segregated place like Kentucky and play in the South?" I said, "Well, you know, again, you know, it was the change in time." So, yeah, I never thought about it until, you know, it was time, until I was faced with, you know, some of the adversities I was when I went down South. But it was a thing to do, and I wasn't afraid, and felt very confident that one of the commitments that my coach made to Coach Charlie Bradshaw was that they would look out for us and protect us as we traveled to the South, and that's exactly what happened.
I'm curious, I don't think we had a chance to talk about this in Lexington, but as you, I mean, you're playing, you're a young guy, and you're trying to go to school and have friends and be a good football player, but things started to happen at other schools in the aftermath. How cognizant were you of what else was happening in the SEC, even after you got out and some of the other schools started to break the color barrier?
Well, I think I'm very, very, very cognizant of that. As a matter of fact, if you look at the University of Kentucky, the first two African Americans, Nate Northington and Greg Page, came and signed in 66. Houston Hall, Albert Johnson, myself signed in 67. And then there's a boy there in 68. I don't think there were any African-Americans to sign for UK because of the tragedy of Greg's passing. And we certainly weren't encouraging anyone to come in that situation. But in 1968, 69, we had six African-Americans to join us at University of Kentucky. My good friend Emmett Buzz Burnham from Clark County, George Rogers Clark, and Oliver Kerr from Eastern High School, Daryl Bishop from Seneca, Curry East from Seneca, Bill Denny from Louisville Mail, and then Cecil Bourne from Thomas Jefferson. So we started to, you know, to see that change, and we started to see it all over the SEC, and I was certainly very, very, very happy to be on the forefront of the changing of the landscape in the SEC with African-American players being recruited pretty heavily all through the conference.
Wilbur, as we close, I know you have had a very successful life, and your involvement in intercollegiate athletics continues to this day, and you probably don't want to be called a hero, but when I walk by those that monument statues of you and your three colleagues, I mean, I can't help but think of you that way, and I know everyone else feels the same way, but we're in your debt, and we always appreciate your time and look forward to seeing you hopefully again in a couple of months.
Well, thank you, Paul, and I do appreciate it. And that statue was something very special and initiated by my teammates. They signed a petition initiated by a group of men and headed by Paul Kerm. And it was just I didn't expect it to happen. 50 years, there was no statue, and when they when it did happen, I was certainly we were certainly grateful, but certainly grateful for the University of Kentucky athletic family thinking enough of us to to put the statue on the campus.
Wilbur Hackett Jr., always a pleasure and an honor to talk to you. We'll see you soon. Thank you so much, Wilbur. But we head to the break right now. A few minutes remaining here on a Thursday night.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Kia Jackson, this ought to be a great game. Tennessee on the road in Georgia. Closer to home. AJ is up next.
You know, Paul, this has been an absolutely extraordinary show. I mean, you know, I'm going to be real serious and not cut up like I normally do. It really has. You hit a home run with a loaded pack of extraordinary callers and guest on here today. That last guest was that was a fantastic interview. The Kevin Steele one though, Paul, that's one I want to talk about. You know, it's good to see, you know, a coach that just got fresh off the press, so to speak, to be able to open up and say a lot of things according to the NIL and the portal, to be able to say what a lot of coaches want to say but cannot. You know what I mean? You know, I found that very insightful, and I appreciated it. And Kevin Steele's – when Nick – you don't have to prop up Kevin Steele. When Nick Saban calls him when he needs somebody that he knows he needs, that's a hell of a man. That's a hell of a coach. And for a legend to call on you, of course you're going to answer the phone. And he did. He was there. And, you know, I love him. I always have, no matter where he was at. And another thing, the call with Ms. Sullivan, that was heartwarming. And, you know, rest in peace, TB, number 88. You will be missed.
Yeah, you know, I didn't mention this now, earlier, AJ, but Terry Beasley, just to put him into perspective, is one of only three Auburn players to ever have their numbers retired.
Oh, he's legendary.
But Bo and obviously Pat Sullivan. I mean, that's... I don't know if I did a good enough job of trying to describe how important he is and remains to Auburn people.
Oh, absolutely. He you can't say Pat Sullivan without saying Terry Beasley.
No, you really can't.
I mean, you can't. I mean, you can't say Auburn without saying Terry Beasley. I mean, for real. But he ranks up there with all the all-time greats of Auburn and of all SEC football players, you know, to be honest. But, you know, speaking of SEC football, you know, Paul, did I hear Legend the other day say, was he absolutely celebrating one recruit, one guy that recommitted one time? One recruit. Where's Alabama football gotten to, Paul? When you're only set, would you have ever known that you your career that you'd say, well, Legend calls in and celebrates one recruit? I mean, that's when they're at the bottom of the barrel over there in Tuscaloosa. One recruit. I mean, they're jumping up in the sky, grabbing rainbows, blowing bubbles. They're sending off They're buying early chocolates and sending them for Valentine's Day. I mean, where is Alabama's football program? And the key puzzle that they need for Ryan Williams to be Ryan Williams, the great that they think, is about to head to the Seattle Seahawks, Grubbs. That's a pit. That is a monumental. If they don't keep him, it's over. I mean, what is he going to do now? He's going to lose the guy that helped him get to where he was and got this job, Coach Debo. I mean, so it's a bad time in Alabama, and it's okay, Paul, for you just to let down.
Hey, AJ, do you feel better saying all this? Is this like a stiff drink to you that it relaxes you to trash Alabama, even though nothing that you've said is accurate?
Grubbs is not about to leave. He's not under a heavy contract negotiation right now.
Yeah, somehow I believe that the school would be able to survive losing an offensive coordinator, but this is my first week on the job, so I'll have to defer to AJ on that
side. You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.